Now he says, woe unto them. And the word here for woe is the word ooi. And these that speak evil, it's woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, we've had these three before us back in 2 Peter. We'll have them before us again in Revelation as examples. But in each case, it's a different example. Now, we're told here, and the word woe here is ooi. The word itself denotes grief or a denunciation. And here, it's the latter. It's a denunciation. Woe to these. And they have gone here, we're told, they've gone first in the way of Cain, and they've gone greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, the first one of Cain, he was a religious man, but a natural man. He believed in God. He believed in religion, but he did it after his own will. He rejected redemption by blood, and he will come his own way to God. That's the picture of the apostate today. Actually, the man calls himself a liberal and a modernist. Well, my friend, this is old as the Garden of Eden. Right outside the Garden of Eden, Cain was a modernist. He was a liberal. He believed in religion and God. But may I say to you, he did it his way, not God's way. Now, you'll notice that we have mentioned here in the Epistle of Jude the way of Cain, and we are told here that the way of Cain characterizes an apostate who is religious but who denies he's a sinner, and therefore he denies the redemption that there is in Christ. And for Cain, he refused to bring a lamb as Abel did. And what we're told in Hebrews 11:4 certainly tells the story. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Well, Cain's dead also, and he speaks, because right here, the way of Cain is the way of a man who refused to bring a little lamb that pointed to Christ. In other words, he did not come to God by faith. He did not believe God when he said that man was to bring a little lamb or a sacrifice, and that without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, that the penalty must be paid. Cain just didn't believe that, you see. Now we're told here another man, Balaam, and then we have Korah. You remember we were given here first three examples of apostates, and they were groups. There were three, the children of Israel, and then the angels, and then Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities. Now we are given another three by way of illustration, and they are three individuals. The way of Cain is one. Then we have, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now you have here, relative to Balaam, that they ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Now, we have in 2 Peter the way of Balaam, and in Jude we have the error of Balaam, and in Revelation we have the doctrine of Balaam. Now, the way of Balaam in 2 Peter was actually the thing that was the undermining of the man. That is, he was covetous, and that's idolatry, and he was the hired preacher. And he wanted to make a buck for the gift that he had, apparently a God-given gift. And this is the way of Balaam that's mentioned in 2 Peter, and it's his undoing. You see, a man can seek for something other than just money, however. He can seek prominence. for popularity, for fame, and for applause, and for position. There are many things that would put him in the way of Balaam, and this was the way of Balaam, you see. But his was money, of course. Actually, I don't think there are too many ministers that are interested in money. I met very few that I thought were interested in money. But this man, he ran greedily, they do, after the era of Balaam for reward. And it may be that I don't know enough liberal preachers is the reason that I do not think there are many. But this marks the apostate, of course, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Probably before I should mention that, since I mentioned the way of Balaam in 2 Peter and the era of Balaam in this epistle of Jude, and you have the doctrine of Balaam in Revelation, and we'll be coming to that, of course, later on. But you find the story of Balaam back in the book of Numbers, the 25th chapter, and he could not curse Israel. And he told Balak that by sending the Moabite women into the camp of Israel, he'd bring about fornication and the introduction of idolatry into the homes through mixed marriages. And you can be sure of one thing, from Genesis to Revelation, God warns against the intermarriage of believers and unbelievers. You can't condone those on any basis whatsoever. Unfortunate that too many young people are not warned of that today, because a great deal of unhappiness has come. We have literally hundreds of letters that testify to that. But actually here, the era of this man Balaam was that he is not seeking money here, but his era was that he thought God would have to punish Israel for their sins. He did not recognize that there is a morality that is above natural morality. He thought a righteous God had to curse Israel. And the morality of the cross, he was totally unaware of it. And it's in the Old Testament that God can maintain and does enforce his authority and all of that. But he can be just and the justifier of a believing sinner. And this nation, when they turn to God, God would forgive them. And today, it's difficult sometimes for somebody to understand how you can be converted. I know that when I worked in a bank and I was led to Christ and wanted to study for the ministry, my friends there, and I would say most of them were church members, they couldn't understand how I could study for the ministry. And by the way, they had ample reason to wonder about that. They couldn't understand that God had forgiven me, that I had a new life. Now, they just didn't believe that. They didn't believe it because they couldn't understand it. And that was the problem that Balaam had, you see. Now, let me come to the gainsaying of Korah. Now, what is the gainsaying here of Korah? Well, you will recall that he led a rebellion against Moses. He came to the conclusion that Moses wasn't the only one around that had access to God. You find that story in the book of Numbers, chapter 16. And this man had rebelled against God's constituted authority, which was Moses. And he wanted to intrude into the thing that was sacred. As God only spoken to Moses, who does Moses think that he is? Well, Moses didn't think too much of himself, that he had any undue qualification. In fact, he wanted to disqualify himself as the leader out of Egypt. But God had called him, and this man Korah rebels against him, which means that he contradicted the authority of Moses, and he intruded into the office of priest, and he died. In other words, he was a rebellious man, rebelling against God. And that characterizes the apostates, you see. Now, here are three individuals. And notice the thing that the apostate has that these three individuals in the Old Testament had. Cain, did not believe that you needed to come to God by faith and needed a bloody sacrifice because man's a sinner. He just believed if you had a religion, that was all. The apostate goes along with that. The error of Balaam is that a holy God must punish sin, and therefore God would have to punish Israel, and that sinners couldn't be forgiven. And these make the mistake. They say, how in the world can the sacrifice of Christ save anyone? A man's got to do this himself. And then they rebel against God as Korah did. They assume an authority that is not theirs. Stand in the pulpit and give out politics instead of giving out the Word of God. Instead of telling what God says, they tell people what they say and what they think. A man said to me some time ago, he said, I have dropped out of my church. I asked him why. Well, he said, I'm tired of listening to a preacher give political economy and also attempt to stand in the position actually of being an authority on government. Well, he says he assumes that he has all knowledge and he never uses the Word of God. He never tells what God says or what God thinks. And he said, I'm tired of listening to it. Well, that man apparently, in that man's church, I know nothing about it, but I assume that he's an apostate. He has the mark of an apostate. Now, these three men illustrate that for us today.